On another episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, we are covering Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, the movie that is currently streaming in theaters. Streaming in theaters? Airing in theaters. No, it's just in theaters. Go watch it. Listen to this podcast.
After this ad, we have no control over.
A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation, a conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series, yeah.
Yeah, we are back with another episode of Animation Deliberation, the podcast where we take action animation seriously, but not too seriously. I'm your host, Suhara Lee. Back with us today, after so long, Andrew Rogers, how are you, bud?
I'm back, baby. third time's a charm. It's great to be here. I missed you a little bit. I missed all of this that's going on, but we have more anime, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's not like you were in a really state of boredom while you weren't here with us, but...
Yeah, I disappeared off of the United States for a little while. Took a little vacation, but now I get to be back and talk about things that are still not American, though, so...
You were closer to that part of the world, and now we have to, like, maintain the connection while you're back here.
I did have a two-hour layover there and back in Japan, so, you know.
Oh, lovely.
Had to enjoy my little bit of culture while I could.
We were walking around after we saw this movie yesterday, and I hadn't been in FYE in the longest time. And they have really cool anime stuff, and it was so much fun to walk around and look at everything, but good lord, their price tags are why that company went out of business.
Oh, yeah. It's the same way with, like, Hot Topic and all of those. They have great things. And I'm like, ooh, this is an amazing, you know, Hunter x Hunter hoodie. And it's $80 and it's just some screen printing on a hoodie. I'm like, I can't do that. That's not what I want. So
it's sad. It's like such good content.
Oh, it is. It is.
Oh, one of my favorite things there that they had that obviously I couldn't buy because I would have bought all of them and never eaten them was there was chocolate bars and each one was off of My Hero characters.
Ooh.
So Tomioka was dark chocolate because Dark Shadow. I can't remember what Sugar Rush was. I think there was actually like sugar crystals on it.
Oh, that's amazing. What was Bakugou?
I don't think he had one. I'll send you the picture afterwards. But
they
it was
really couldn't
cool,
have put like a cherry bomb one. In there.
Maybe, I don't know. There was a few. But yeah, I just love anime stuff. And it is sad that we are not talking about Attack on Titan today, but the studio who has been making the final season of Attack on Titan has made the movie Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, which is currently in theaters. I never watched the series at all before going to this movie. I went in blind as a bat. People have been telling me to watch it for the longest time. I figure this is the best time to dip my toes in the water. If the movie engaged me, it wouldn't have been worth watching the anime, but... It is one of the most popular anime around right now, and understandably so. What is your background with Jujutsu Kaisen?
So I am one of the people that was bugging Zuhair to watch this, so I figured the movie was a good gateway drug to get him going here. But yeah, I've actually, unfortunately, only watched about the first half of the anime because I did it whilst I was moving and just couldn't get back into it because then I started podcasting and then this has taken a bunch of my watch time away. So I know I'm going to watch the back half at some point, but I absolutely loved the first half of the show. It's awesome. And honestly, I think the show itself is better than this movie was. So if you're intrigued by the movie, then you're going to love the show, in my opinion. But yeah, it's a fun time, but it's a little confusing. And I think we'll kind of get into that as we go here, because you might ask some questions that even people who are totally caught up with the show don't have answers to, because they have some interesting rules in this universe, to say the least.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because as somebody who didn't know anything about this, didn't look anything into it, I'm talking to you, the listener. I asked Andrew, should I watch some of the anime? Do I need to watch all of the anime? Can I go into this movie without watching any of it? Because he had seen it at this point. I got paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of everything except a bloody answer of if I should watch anything before going in. So I will clearly tell you people, just go watch it.
Yes, this is right after I had seen it, but after seeing it, I can say it's a little, there's a couple hurdles to go through. There are some characters that they don't give enough background on. There's some they give too much on, but you can watch it and purely enjoy it without needing some analytical breakdown like my mind and Zuhair's mind like to work in. But yeah, there are just so many question marks surrounding the rules of this show that it felt weird to give a blanket yes or no answer to you specifically as a friend. To all of our listeners, go watch the movie. You're perfectly fine.
Just now.
But what I just said was paragraphs and paragraphs of words. They just look longer on your small cell phone screen.
So here's the one question I do have about the show, since I haven't watched it yet. I just wanted to talk about the movie while I was on for this episode. And now that I am interested, like, we are going to go through, watch the first half, cover it, watch second half, cover it, as we typically do with anime-related stuff. But, like, with our main character, Yuta, do they just, like, dive right in of, like, he's just this depressed individual that has a set power that we just don't fully understand, like, the first few episodes like that? Like, the introduction of the character, like, say episodes 1 and 2.
So Yuta is not the main character of the TV show.
Oh.
I don't think he even shows up until, like, episode 5 or something like that.
Oh.
So, and that's part of this weird question about the show. None of the characters in this movie are a main character of the show. Some of the main characters are like tertiary characters of the show. Like they show up halfway through. So it is very disjointed, but also kind of wraps itself back around. From what I've heard of people who've read the manga, this movie will kind of play into season 2 a little bit more than it did in season 1. So that's kind of why I think they're releasing it after the first season came out. It might be a little bit of a bridge. But yeah, to answer your question, Yuta is not talked about at all.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured that there was something bridge related the way that the end credit scene was, the way that Yuta was talking to Miguel and what's his face? Gojo comes up and like kind of intervenes in the conversation. That kind of made me feel like that this movie is supposed to be setting up something in the future, because why would you have something before the series to talk about something after the series, right? So I feel like this was just kind of like permanent pertinent. One of those. I'm great with words today. Pertinent information for something that's like upcoming.
Yeah, I'm gonna laugh a little bit. I did not see the post-credit scene because I saw this movie with someone who had already seen it, and they said, "Oh, there's not a post-credit scene. We can leave." They were wrong. So I haven't seen it, but I know what it is. And yeah, it is, I have been told that's about the only thing that we know for a fact, that Miguel is going to play some part with Gojo in season 2.
Interesting.
Yes. But let's jump into the movie. I feel like we've kind of beaten around with what the show is. What were your thoughts of the kind of start of here's what this world is and what it's going to be about?
I was really interested in it because especially the way that it started off, like, there wasn't a lot of people in my theater, but they were very vocal on the big stuff. So introducing Yuta and Rika when he was being bullied and she just came and massacred them and shoved him in a closet, like, everybody was like, oh, so then that's what I was like, oh, so this is, like, unusual. Like, this is still, like, holy crap for the standard of the show. Just the way that, you know, clear fans of it were responding, because I was trying to whisper to my friend without people being like, man, this guy's not one of us. So it's like, yeah, like, even the way that my buddy was responding was like, it's very graphic. And it was actually, it's interesting that watching this movie actually made me wish that all anime started off with the movie, because like, there was so much developmental stuff and understanding all of these characters, like, within a 2-hour span, about, like, instead of, like, waiting 20 minutes and then 1 week, 20 minutes, 1 week, 20 minutes, 1 week. So having, like, these arcs of, like, all right, Yuta's going to work with Maki, then he's going to work with Touge, and then this big bad is going to come in, and then there's, like, conclusion, and then you can, like, step into, like, what the story's about. Like, I know you haven't watched Naruto, but for people who have, like, if the whole, like, testing and Zabuza arc, like happened just as a movie, and then you like watch week by week, like there's a whole level of like immersement that went into this that I've never experienced before that I was really happy with. And with the action, the well-paced storytelling, and just kind of like leading into what's to come was really cool to watch. And I enjoyed the movie, and it's making me want to watch the anime. And it just kind of, it has me thinking about other anime and like how well they could do if like the first part was a movie instead. Like I'm thinking about Attack on Titan, and Funimation has a movie called Attack on Titan Chronicle, which is the three movies in the three seasons in a movie, like compressed into a 2-hour movie. And I'm not saying that all of it needs to be that way, but it just kind of has me thinking of like the potential, just kind of like the future of anime and how fun this was for what it was for somebody who hadn't seen the actual series.
Yeah, I hope as we see these movies become popular and do well in theaters, we do get more canonical movies, because I know that's been the biggest gripe of the anime community for a long while, is, hey, this, you know, Naruto movie came out, but it's not really canon, so it doesn't really matter.
They've never made a canon movie.
Exactly. So it's hard to kind of get into. Now that we're seeing canon films come out, you can get this character development. You can make it matter. I mean, Demon Slayer is a perfect example of that movie is an integral part of the story. If you don't see the movie,
only example.
Well, yeah, it's the only, I mean, this hopefully will pay off as another example, and we're starting to see it more of, you know, it's going to matter in some storytelling capacity, because you're right, it was good for people who didn't have experience to these characters that you could get some of the answers, some of the character development. I will say, from someone who had seen the show, the first 20 minutes were really slow because of that, because we kind of knew some of these things about these characters. So I think that's the hardest part that they have to work on, is balancing it out, saying, all right, how are we going to make this work? Because I'll, you know, reference back to Demon Slayer as our only example. They didn't bother giving Tanjiro, Zenitsu, Inosuke their backstories in that movie. They just said, buckle up, here's some people. And it paid off for us. Maybe it didn't pay off for people who didn't know quite as well. So hitting that balance is really good. But I will say the storytelling beats, they were interesting. They were really good. And again, with Yuta not being a main character in the show, his story was really intriguing to me. Him and Rika was just this heart-wrenching, had me sobbing in a theater again story that I just loved.
Yeah, I went from like cringe to tears real quick on a couple of parts. In regards to like the comparisons, I think the only thing that really got close to having like a canon movie was the Dragon Ball Super stuff. But it wasn't like Demon Slayer, where they just turned the exact movie into episodes. They actually like expanded on everything in the episodes, like when they became part of the show. But then it's another thing where it's like, I already saw this, like, get to the next part of it. And they've had two movies that were like that. So it's like, well, Super's out. Now I gotta wait for this thing to end. And then I gotta wait for it to dub, because I can't stand Goku's voice. And you already nerfed Gohan, didn't make him look any cooler in the show, so that's a whole other podcast episode. but with the Demon Slayer one, like, I watched that maybe 4 times in theaters, because it was just so amazing. And the second time, like, my buddy hadn't been to the theater in a long time because of the pandemic and stuff. So I was like, you know what, watch, like, as much as you can of Demon Slayer before going to the movie. And I think like the first like 4 episodes he saw was like sufficient enough for him to like get the gist of what was going on, and then just go back and watch the show and love the show and be like, oh my god, when is season 2 starting? And the show for Demon Slayer, obviously, like the first episode and the last episode were the only thing that weren't in the theater. This has become a film theory class more than it has
Hey,
Kaisen review.
I'm interested in film. I feel like this is at least somewhat good conversation to be had, because yeah, I had a friend who came with me, just like you, hadn't seen this before. She walked out of the theater, was like, okay, now I need to watch this show. This seems interesting. So there are ways that you could do it without seeing. It's just make sure your fan base is aware of that kind of thing, you know, or yeah, make sure all of your fan base is in the same place. Like, you know, introduce a whole slate of new characters so none of us feel like, you know, we don't know anything, or don't give backstory like Demon Slayer. But either way, it was good. And I mean, the cast of characters in and of themselves are really interesting characters, with the main 3 students, Maki, Inumaki, and Panda, what were your thoughts having never been exposed to any of these three before? Who was your favorite and why is it Panda?
I think it's actually in between Toge and Maki.
Really? You're not
Panda was really cool, especially when he powered up and just started going like ape shit on the other dude. I was like, whoa, this is sick. There's been like a lot of like promotional art and stuff that I saw Panda and I was like, I'm not gonna ask what that's about because I am gonna find out at some point. And throughout the movie, like, I was fighting the urge to be like, why is there a panda? Why is this not weird? And I was like, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to be that guy. If the movie doesn't explain it, then I'll ask. But it's like, sit tight. And all we got was when the main villain, Ghetto, actually said, like, a mutilated corpse, a cursed voice, a failure of the clan and stuff like that. So I was like, fascinating. I love these backstories. Like, I want to go into it. And then same with Toge. I was like, why is he just saying salmon? Or what ended up being like rice ball recipes. And then I was like, don't ask. When the explanation came in, and I was like, perfect. I'm glad I didn't ask because that delivery was awesome. Patience is such a beautiful thing in life. And then I guess I just kind of like Maki's backstory about how just everything was against her and he tried being a badass. And it's like, it's a cool chick with a staff. Like, how do you not like that? Especially that guy who trains weapons and loves working with the staff. So I really was between the both of them just because they're like, one had a really cool story, the other, like, the ability was just so unique, how he had to be like very timely with how he used his voice, when he took his medicine, the fact that he was so advanced that he could take some of these like lower missions on his own. Outright fascinating. I love everything about these characters. I still don't know much about Gojo, and I want to find out from watching and not, like, he kind of gives you Kakashi vibes with the silver hair and just chill attitude and something with his eyes that has to be covered. Yep. And then it's like, oh, what are these stardust eyes telling us? But dude, the one fight sequence between him and Miguel when it was just like all the close combat stuff and he was just beating the daylights out of it, I was like, oh, it looks so sick.
That is one of the points that I wanted to talk about so much. MAPPA went off there. You could just tell they wanted a fluid fight scene of just, this person is going to put the other one in the ground no matter what.
Yeah.
And yeah, whether you know anything about Gojo or not, you can't deny that was just a powerhouse of a fight scene that just makes anime or action fans in general just get that little feeling in their stomach of like, oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It was such a good scene. So much great animation. Yeah. Gojo's just the best. He's such a fun character to have that has this attitude to him that you just can't beat for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that cool guy thing going and I absolutely love it. But, circling
especially
back
when he was in the council and just kind of like everyone's panicking, it's like, chill out, I'll take care of it.
Oh yeah, you know he's been through this before. He does not care. He's like, you're gonna listen to me, you called me here for a reason. He's got that like Master Yoda vibe, or
yeah,
maybe more Mace Windu of like, you brought me here, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. Now it's awesome. But the female characters both in this movie and the show, I think this anime might have some of the best, like, strong female characters as it goes, and we'll talk about them more during the show itself. But I agree. Maki just has this power to her of, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to prove myself right. Don't end up feeling, you know, sorry for yourself or for this guy. I just got to do what I do. And then, you know, to find out that she can't actually use cursed things, like, you know, her glasses and her staff being, you know, the items that she has to work with was just awesome as well. That, like, yeah, she's at a disadvantage, but still going out there and kicking butt, taking names.
Yeah. I think the last thing I want to say about that one fat fight sequence that we were geeking over is, I feel like the Great War arc of Naruto kind of set a standard of actually having proper hand-to-hand combat instead of the Dragon Ball Z, like, oh my god, they're going so fast, I can't see them. And you could see it coming up a lot, like the fight sequences in My Hero are very cool paced. Demon Slayer definitely does it a lot, where things are going quick, but you can tell there's actually like choreography behind it and going through. And then the way that that kicked into was just phenomenal. And I'm excited that animation studios are actually like making that the norm of actually using the, you know, I guess motion capture, or actually prioritizing choreography instead of small moments within like bursts of speed type scenes.
Yeah, I think it definitely comes with them having more money to work with, so they could take the time to actually, you know, dedicate out what this is going to look like. But I agree, it just, it feels like there's so much more of a payoff there when you can actually see the connections, you feel the blows. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting that we're talking about all these shows, you know, My Hero, this, Demon Slayer, they're still in that supernatural realm where it would be very easy to say, oh, because of the powers that they're using, you know, there isn't choreography because you just can't see it. They're only throwing fireballs at each other. Instead, they're saying, no, it's still going to be rooted in some sort of realistic martial art style. And, you know, so what were your thoughts on the actual martial arts? Did you see any specific notes of different, you know, styles being used between any of the characters? Or was it a bit more of a just, you know, cool to look cool?
I think it was closer to like the Wing Chun style of things, where it's very close. A lot of like trap and attack type stuff. I saw that between Panda and Gojo's main fight scenes.
Okay. You know, I just wanted to ask because I know it's spelled different, but there's still always that thing in the back of my mind of this is called Jujutsu Kaisen. There's obviously the martial art called Jujutsu. If there was any sort of link, obviously I have no experience with these things, so I wanted to talk to our resident martial artist and get these questions out there.
I meant to look at like what Jujutsu actually is, and I feel like it's something along the terms of like fighting curses, because from, I haven't actually looked this up, so don't take my word for it, but one of the commonalities is that whenever you see jutsu, it, I think it means technique in a way. So it's like something jutsu, or am I saying that right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have heard it before in like Naruto specifically.
Yeah, so coming, I think, to mind, jutsu, that you have your jutsus is technique. So like Jujutsu Kaisen, I think, is supposed to be like a curse technique, or...
In, just to kind of piggyback off this, I pulled up Google Translate, which we can trust as far as we can throw it. Jutsu does translate to art or means. So I'm okay. Guessing in a looser term, it would mean something along the way of your technique, the way that you're doing something. The way is another translation for the word specifically. So yeah, you might be along those lines, at least for the base root of it. So that makes some sense.
Yeah, so the I mean, the quick goog that I gave it was Jujutsu Kaisen literally means sorcery fight. So I guess it's supposed to, like, I think the ju part of it is something along the lines of sorcery or the magic or the curses or...
Okay, I mean, that's awesome to know, to have a little bit more background. I mean, I know it's obviously called Jujutsu Hai in the movie here. Yeah. So it makes some sense that it's magical high school. It's just kind of funny to think we get this really cool sounding name, and to people in Japan it's just Magic High. Like, it's the same as calling a movie Sky High if you're gonna put it in the sky or something silly like that.
So actually, one of the reasons I actually didn't get into the show right away was because of the name, and because it sounded like jujitsu, and like there's been, it's like that art is so mainstream now. It's like, it's almost like the new karate when it comes to martial arts, that it was like, oh, an anime about jujitsu just because jujitsu is getting popular. So it's like, I kind of brushed it off because of that. And one of my friends who trains jujitsu, who's the one who got me into it, she was like, it really is a great show, but the name pisses me off. So I just call it Jujutsu Kaisen. And I've heard her say that so many times that that's what I say all the time now. And it kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
Got that bad juju.
She's like, yeah, I can't stand to call it something that's so close to jujitsu, so I call it juju, and then you can mess around with it calling like Susu Kaisen or Tutu Kaisen. I'm like, yeah, Zuzu Kaisen. She's like, yeah, Zuzu Kaisen, even better now.
Title of the episode, Zuzu Kaisen Zero. Oh my gosh.
You've
that's
seen
funny.
The origin of how I got into the show more than the origin of the show. You were talking about like some of the characters who pop in, and there's like other characters to talk about. One of them that caught my eye during the battle scene was the teal hair chick who was doing the quick draw on the sword. I was like, she looks like she's easily going to be one of my favorite characters. And then the like sweet mecha dude that came in right after, I was like, I don't know who these elite looking guys are, but I can't wait to see more of them.
Yeah, there were a couple characters like that that are just kind of little, hey, might come back later people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll kind of leave it at that. But they are, again, the cast of characters is a very character-driven show and movie, honestly, that it was just all based around the relationships that they have with each other, how they interact, as opposed to just, we got to fight some really bizarre-looking curses, demons, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
But on that, I'll transition into this because you kind of brought it to my memory as we were talking. How do you feel about the art style of this movie? I personally am a little indifferent as to how they do the characters. I think they're a little bit more on the plain side, but the way that they animate them and all of the scenery with it, I think is very, very well done.
I absolutely love simplicity with anime designs.
Okay.
Like the Wayne family comics that you've been sending me, the designs of that are epic. Everything in Naruto and My Hero, and like there's so much anime that have had like simple designs and very simple shading, and then it just like the quality of everything amps up and it goes to the fight. Like even Avatar: The Last Airbender, and then I'm watching Dota on Netflix, which is the same animation studio that did Legend of Korra, and it was the design that got me into it, because it's just very simple with the colors, simple on the shading, but like when it's time for the action to come in, it's just so fluid, so clean, and yeah, the simplicity is just so key when it comes to character design for me.
You see, that's interesting, because I would almost consider, in my opinion, and obviously everyone has their own different thoughts on this, something like Avatar: The Last Airbender or Korra, as much as it's simple, there's still a very artistic way that they're drawing the characters. They have, you know, a little bit different proportionality, a little bit more, you know, rounded facial features, different things like that. Whereas this is very simple in the angular way, I guess I would say it. And again, I don't totally dislike any of these characters. It's just a difference of thoughts on that, you know, you have these very thin line versus thick line drawing almost. And it's kind of getting into the nitpicky, but this is what I love about different styles of animation, is everyone has a different hand. They bring a little bit different stylization to it. That, you know, Avatar had this bubbly real world feeling to it with their shadows and stuff, whereas this is a little bit off that mark. It's hard to describe, obviously. I am not as deep into the art world as some people may be, but
I think it's color and shading are the biggest factor for me. And it's one of the reasons I had trouble getting into the Clone Wars, because everything was so painterly and gradient based, and there was a lot of colors and a lot of shapes and a lot of shading going on. So it really was the story that actually got that pushing for me, and then I started appreciating, and then the lifelikeness of Bad Batch was what was fascinating there. But there is a lot of like American animated stuff that tries to go so heavy on detail, and I think that's where it loses me a little bit. But anime does have an ability of keeping simple color and shading, and that's where I get drawn in.
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, everything I just said, it still points to this looks almost like it was lifted from the pages of a manga, which is one of my favorite things about anime, is when you could compare a panel directly to the screen and see right where they were coming from. I saw it plenty with this, and I've seen plenty of comparisons with Demon Slayer and Attack on Titan alike, that these animators are staying true to the craft of the original artists and authors, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely do a good job. I'm just looking at this picture of, like, cursed Rika that I have up on my screen.
I think we're looking at the same one, and it is...
Man, that made me so uncomfortable. Like, I'm not a horror person, and that made me so uncomfortable throughout the movie, especially the first mission with Maki. When that giant one just breaks out of
the building, to say,
and then
which
she
one
comes out of its gut and just starts punching it like into the ceiling. And then she was like, oh my God, I look so pretty. I'm so beautiful, with the blood like all over her and the shrieky voice. And I was like, stop, stop, stop. Make it stop. Make it stop, please. I don't like this at all.
Yeah, the curses are bizarre. They take all the humanity out of them. Like those first little three with the one eye and the big open mouth running at it. It was just, and that was kind of your first experiences.
The subtitles were like, wear me or put me on or something like that. It's just like unbuttoning itself like a jacket, and the chunks came out. I was like, ew, why? What is this?
Oh, welcome to the uncomfort zone. No, it's... it's bizarre. I really don't know what else to say. Like, I don't even want to compare these to demons. Demons are nice people looking things. These are just cursed images.
It reminded me of Bleach.
Kind of
like,
yeah,
the concept of that show and what those villains were like. I mean, again, I've only watched like the first part of the Soul Society like 4 times and never made it past that. But...
yeah, Bleach is just a little weird because like they still have form to them, whereas this is just anything can be thrown at you and you're just not prepared for what the next one's gonna look like.
Yeah, compress Bleach into movies. I'll watch that in a heartbeat. Yeah, so that school scene was this, it made me uncomfortable, but it kind of what latched me on. I was like, all right, I'm sold on the series. What do we have next?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know that you are fully in and I'm not just dragging you through it, but there is the dark motifs that this movie really had going, as you reminding me that it was a school, specifically, that like they were children that were taken and turned into these curses. Like, that is so, so messed up. Like, where does that come from in an author's head? I always have to wonder with these kinds of things.
I think it comes down to kind of like,
I mean,
I don't want to say religion, but like Japanese history on a mythical / religious background.
Yeah.
And like the reasons of why like kids would go missing and stuff like that. And then like you watch other shows that get into like the gritty parts of it, or you talk to some people who are from the culture and you just kind of understand that it really does come down to shitty people. And that's why kids and women and things go missing. Oh my God, I said things. I'm so sorry.
So
it's like, it definitely crossed my mind of like how much of this is like dwelling into a culture that I'm not fully aware of, and how many is it kind of like, yeah, we still have people missing in Japan on a regular basis, but can't quite blame monsters anymore.
Yeah, this is a whole other part of the conversation, and I was just kind of saying things as they came to mind because I have talked to, my lovely partner is actually Japanese, so I've kind of asked her this question before of, you know, why in anime are there very often demon different things? And she has said it comes from the culture. It comes from the way that they look at, you know, mythical things, the afterlife, exactly like you said. It's just, it's still crazy to think that these things are happening and that we can write stories around them because, mm-hmm. you know, I wrote one of my papers freshman year about the background of werewolves being based in European things of like guys would go off at night and do crazy things and they'd be like, I turned into a werewolf. And
yeah,
it's very similar. I could come up with 100 examples, but as you mentioned it's like, yeah, it's really just us coming up with ways to mask what is going on in reality. And it's crazy to say that it's going on, but it was just itching at the back of my brain of like, this should be said at some point almost. But maybe, yeah, it shouldn't.
The reason that I wanted to say it on the podcast, it's because it was a thought that was going through my mind while I was in the theater. So it's their portrayal of the situation of people going missing and this being this issue of like kids not making it home from an elementary school actually had me like recollecting stories that I've heard from other people who have lived in that part of the world. It's just like, demons, curses, you say.
Yeah, it's crazy, but especially from a modern thing of like, this didn't come out in the 80s and 90s, which isn't that long ago. This came out this year. Like, this is a very modern story, so always keeping that.
90s. Don't say it was that long ago.
I just said it wasn't that long ago. I was also born in the 90s. Making us both feel as young as we possibly can. Scoots, that's why I also said the 80s wasn't that long ago. We're all young. It's fine. Well, I'm glad I could get some laughter back before we just completely fell off. But yeah, I'm excited to see. What was that?
I want to watch. Like, I'm kind of disappointed that we don't see these characters right off the bat, but I do want to watch it.
I mean, they replace them with other fantastic characters. Like I said, both this movie and the TV show are very character driven. I'll give you the spoiler. Gojo is still a main part of the TV show, and that's awesome for everyone who got to enjoy Gojo as he was. Yeah. Might be one of my favorite characters across all of it.
That's what I caught on, because my friend who was sitting next to me that had seen it would be like as soon as he popped up, he was like, yeah. Like he knew what was about to happen, and I'm just like, ooh, I'm even more intrigued now. But like when Rika finally moved on to the afterlife, my buddy was like, oh man, he got nerfed bad. So then I was like, so this guy does show up, but he doesn't have this level of power. So all this training that we've seen in this is literally just for this. Okay, I'm intrigued. What's going on with this?
Yeah, it's so hard to like keep it to myself, because there are things that I know that I'm like trying not to actually say. But yeah, no, anyone who... I'm glad to know that you got to enjoy Gojo as well. Like, it wasn't just someone who knew all of the story that we get going forward, that you also walked out of that theater like, this is a cool guy. I like this guy.
Yeah, like, the deductive reasoning part of it was cool, too. It's like, he's very show-offy. Why is he not on the front line, just, like, teleports two of the guys back home?
Yeah, his powers just evolve.
And then even more of, like, Geto saying, like, wow, you actually, like, sent two kids. It's like, oh, no, I knew you wouldn't have killed other people. So, even if it was near death, you didn't actually kill them. I knew you wouldn't actually kill them. I was like, that's quite the gamble.
You know, when you're dealing with curses like this and super strong people, we take gambles, you know? It's just what happens. You're their teacher. You might sacrifice a student or two occasionally. It's fine.
And I think because I haven't seen the show before, and the panda was the only one that I recognized from like artwork and promotional stuff, whenever they were in near-death situations, it was actual stakes for me, because I had no idea if they were in the series or not, right? Like, they could have just died in this, and that would have been like something that no one's ever seen before. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't look anything up. So the intensity of like, oh my god, like, are Makitoge and Panda about to die? Because I don't know what happens in the show. Are they in it? Is this actually the end for them? So I think that's one of the small benefits that I had as somebody who didn't see it. It's like, the stakes felt like stakes. And then I was extra scared for Maki when Yuta was trying to get Rika to heal all of them. And she just grabs Maki and she's like, no, it's not fair. And it's like, hey, I'm ordering you. Don't hurt her. And it's like, do you hate me? Do you still love me? Right? And I was like, stop. No, I don't like this at all. This makes me so uncomfortable. And it's not like a bad writing thing. It's just like they did a good job at making me uncomfortable. I was cringing the whole time.
Yeah, it was weird, because it's like, is she a child, but she's older, but like loves him? How is this supposed to make me feel?
It redeemed itself, and it was so sweet, and she was like, I'm glad that I still got to spend like 6 more years with you. Please don't come see me too soon. I was like, aw.
Oh,
that
no.
Was actually sweet.
I will be fully honest, and I went with a group of like 9 or 10 people to the theater. I think I was the only one that cried, but I sat there fully in tears, just like, this is so sweet. They wrote this in like hour and a half span. I went from having no idea who this little girl is to crying as she's saying, don't come see me soon. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, but they drove it home so well of, you know, how it must have felt. And then to find out that he was the one that cursed her to like try and keep her in his life in some capacity was just, oh, that hurt even more.
Yeah. So you were telling me off screen that you thought that the English dub was actually bad. The reason I asked, there's a point to this. Toge's delivery when he's like using his curse was really awesome. Does that pan out, or does that kind of like, it sounded cooler?
It was It was yelling. It was literally just like, you know, if I'm trying to think of one of the words that he used in his Kirch speech.
Twist.
It would literally have just been like, twist! I don't know if that came through or not. I tried to get far away from the mic as to not clip it, but it was literally just like yelling with some amplification. It wasn't anything crazy.
It didn't have the same effects put on it.
Yeah, and part of it is it's no mystery to those of you who have listened to the show before. I do prefer the sub most of the time when I watch anime, just because I feel like there sometimes can be a disconnect between the deliveries of characters. And having watched the whole first half of the show subbed, to go to watch this movie dubbed, because it's a tiny one-room theater in the middle of nowhere. We were lucky they even had the movie. So they only had it in the dub. Like, Gojo came off as this very cocky, like, hey guys, I'm here to be your teacher now. And that's not the same way that I get the feeling when I watch it in the sub. It's much more of a, like, I'm cool and confident. Thank you for, you know, appreciating what I have to do. So there is a lot of that difference. I wouldn't say it was bad, but the minute I walked out of the theater, my main complaints, as we were all kind of giving our roundtable review, was about the voice acting specifically, that I just didn't feel like some of them hit the mark quite as hard. And like, even Toge, not even using his curse speech, using his, you know, regular just salmon flakes, the comedy of it fell flat as well. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know quite why. It was still funny. They use it in such sparing moments that it can be really funny at times. But I feel like there would have been a few more laughs out of me had it been delivered with a little bit more rounded energy. It's weird to describe, because he's meant to be monotone, but there is still that little bit of difference.
I think my biggest comparison to that is in Mugen Train with the Rengoku, because I can watch Demon Slayer in either one just fine. I prefer sub, but like, dub is fine for me. But when Rengoku's eating the bento box and he's saying, like, I think it was Umoi or Yumoi.
Omai!
Like that. Yeah, Omai. Like, the delivery of that was really cool. So when they went to English and he's yelling delicious, it's like, why would you not just say yum? Like, the delivery of yum! Yum! Like, that would deliver a lot better than delicious! Like, why would he be yelling delicious on the train after every bite, right?
So I mean, like, it is the same idea of this is supposed to be bizarre. But
delicious and yum echoing throughout the train. It's like, it's about the delivery, and I feel like delivery of yum would have been a lot better. So it's like, I feel like there's an effort to mimic exactly what they're saying, when in reality, you should be using terminology that works for the delivery of that scene, right? Like, even delicious is three syllables, but he's animated to Japanese, which is using, like, a syllable and a half, if that. So, I get what you're saying about, like, the delivery not quite being there, and that's why I was curious, like, how close it was with, like, the extra effects of, like, making a command of the curse.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of examples. I think the most prevalent one that we run into is itadakimasu.
Yeah.
That is, there's not really even a good way to translate that, because it's a general term in Japanese just to say, you know, we appreciate this meal. Thank you for this meal. We don't say that as Americans when we sit down to eat. So when they suddenly translate it to English, it's like, why are they saying that this, you know, some translation of it every time they eat? It's a culture thing. It comes across in a different sense. So there are little things like that, and that's generally part of why I prefer one over the other.
And but for that example specifically, I feel like even the English speaker should just say ikadakimasu, because it is just a Japanese saying.
Yes.
Like, you say bon appetit, whether it's a French thing or an English thing. Why? Because it's a French word. It's a French phrase. Like, people listen to it and understand the meaning of it through constant exposure. So you shouldn't be finding the English way to say ikadakimasu if it's not something we say. You should just say what it is and enlighten your viewership to understand that this is a Japanese culture and a Japanese phrase that's depicting the beginning of eating your meal.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because there are, I mean, personally myself, I did not know that that was actually a cultural thing until I had my partner, who again is Japanese, and was able to explain it to me. I feel like there are so many of us that kind of get lost in the, oh, it's just an English word that they're saying. No, there's a reason they're saying it. There's something behind it. So I kind of agree and am surprised that there hasn't been an anime that has decided to leave that in the English dub. There might be some other reason that we don't know. But it has been a really interesting conversation about culture and the way that anime movies are made. This was supposed to be like a 20-minute, half-hour thing of you and I talking about this movie, and it has evolved.
I mean, I'm sure we talked about the movie for 20 minutes. We're hitting 46 now. I kind of want to talk to, like I've been wanting to do an interview on this show, but obviously we're not, like, popular enough that the big-time actors are responding to my Instagram messages.
I'm working on it, all right? I'm working.
I try to. I'm not putting you on anything. Like, from my actual account, I've been like, hey, I'm the host of Animation Deliberation. You want to be on our show? So that's one of the, like, I kind of want to talk to, like, a voice director now, too, or, like, if we could find somebody in, like, the translating verse to be like, why do you choose the words and the phrases that you do and ask questions like that? Like, would you have gone a different direction? Does the market call for something different? Like, we need to get bigger.
Yeah, because
leave us more 5-star reviews so these people acknowledge us. And don't forget the Instagram, too, because apparently that's how we communicate with people.
No, because that's a really good question. And when you're talking about something like this thing that I have with Gojo, where I feel like it was a different vibe, was that the director or was that the voice actor specifically said, I'm going to put my spin on this? You know, I would love to have that information out there because there's no fault to the voice actor. They brought a performance that I think was good. And if I didn't necessarily have this comparison point to be like, ooh, I like that other one better, I would still have had nothing but good things to say. I just might not have liked the character as much. I think that was the biggest reason that it was notable, is I actually like kind of dislike Gojo in the dub, whereas I love him in the sub. So there are those intricacies that definitely go into the industry, and hopefully someday we will kind of get more information about that.
Yeah, I guess as I start the show, I'll watch it in the sub, but I have plenty of work to do before then.
Yeah, we do, because, you know, we got Young Justice coming back this week. We have the finale of Attack on Titan coming up. So this, I don't know when it's going to come out, but our goal is to talk about this again later.
I totally meant that, like, I have editing and stuff to do before I can watch anything tonight.
I know, but I was trying to make it professional. Well, there was a segue here that when we do get to it, as of now,
hey man, it's your friends that wanted to know more about us, so I'm trying to give a peek into the life of a depressed photographer.
Well, you don't want to talk to the life of a a business student that's jet lagged and tired. So in my little segue, when we do get to Jujutsu Kaisen the series, we're gonna try and divide it up into two, I think. Episodes 1 through 13 and then 14 through 24 is how I currently have it set to split. So when that time does come,
you can give straight answers on watching something.
I can give you straight answers on many different things, but you know,
not this movie.
I'm an analytical guy, you know this, everyone knows this, that's why they listen. So
I can't even ask you this question. No, I can't. How can I ask you this question without spoiling anything? On the last, like, the last episode of Attack on Titan that's coming out next week, when that concludes, there are still 9 chapters of the manga that haven't been accounted for.
So I have heard about this. Many of the listeners who know, I've talked about this at length with a great listener of the show, Jillian Kurtick. She helped us divide it up. Also, Zuhair, you were saying her name wrong for like 4 weeks, but whatever.
You were in a different time zone where I couldn't ask for a correction.
I had to throw that out there on her behalf. I don't know. There has yet to be an article that's come out to be like, hey, we're going to get an hour and a half long finale. And I was thinking they might surprise us with that. And that's why there's this 1 week gap. But I think there's potential for a movie, maybe, for Attack on Titan. I would love it. But also, I think the entire anime community would lose its mind if we thought this whole time it's finally going to end. We're at the final season. We're on the home stretch. And hey, we have to wait another year to get the actual conclusion of Attack on Titan.
Buddy, they wouldn't make us wait a year. Yeah, they'd make us wait 4 years for a movie.
I know, I was trying to be generous with that, but it also would not surprise me, because we talked about way back when I was last talking about Attack on Titan with you guys that the manga just finished like maybe a month or two ago, if I have my timeline correctly. So their turnaround time for animation on that last half of the final season was not a lot. So maybe that is the wild card that they're holding in the back pocket, is final season means the final season of the show. But guess what? We're going to have a movie now. I would love it. I would hate it. I don't know what to think necessarily about it, but
because there are some people that are saying that could be a part three as well. But it's one of those things, because of the god awful communication that they've been providing the last 12 years. If I do not see a movie trailer at the end of a 20-minute episode, I will be mad. Like, you can expect the beginning of our next episode to be super mad making the intro and just getting straight into how pissed I am that I don't know what's coming next. Because this is ridiculous. It's been 12 years.
And here I was thinking I was going to be the one that roars like a titan upon my return. It might just be you in an angry rage.
I'm warning everybody right now, I will start off that episode in a super sour mood. If there is a cliffhanger to the end of this episode with no clear indication of what is coming next.
Yeah, it's so interesting because
I will fly over to MAPPA Studios just to give them the finger. And I know they've only done the last season, not the rest, but this is like irresponsible and a disservice to the fans.
Yeah, because I am currently watching My Hero Academia on your recommendation, and I literally just finished season 3 last night. And at the end of that season, there's a big banner that says continuing in season 4. You know, we're working on it now. Even that would be enough to tie me over, is just some banner that says, hey, we're doing part 3. It's going to be a while. Like, I don't need a date. You know, we've been waiting on Young Justice for a couple months without a clear date until very recently. I'm okay knowing that it's coming.
But here's the thing. Young Justice had articles that said springtime. Okay, I have an idea of when it's coming.
Those were all skeptical. I don't think they were ever officially, like, from Warner Brothers, but
no, it was on like the official page of saying coming back springtime, and then eventually we got a date My Hero Academia and Demon Slayer. Like, there are news articles that say, hey, they confirmed this time, you know, it's coming out in a year, or it'll say like, oh no, we've had a delay. Just let me know there's a freaking delay. It's fine. If this movie is going to come out next year, have something that you said, like you said at the banner, like Attack on Titan true finale movie coming out in theaters 2023. That's fine. I'll be annoyed that I have to wait, but I have some indication of where I have to wait. Like, well, for the MCU fans, could you imagine if it was like, you don't know when you're going to get the movie? Like, there might be a Doctor Strange 2. You don't know when. And then like 4 years later, it's like, oh, by the way, it's coming out in theaters next month. Like,
yeah, so
it's so frustrating.
There is a question here, and you might not know the answer because you are not in the zeitgeist
right
at the time.
State of mind in this conversation.
Great state of mind. This is amazing discourse. When season four, part one, ended, did we get any sort of part two is coming at this time? We're getting a part two. Just now that it's MAPPA, was there any sort of announcement for this final season? Were they a little bit better, or was it still radio silence? I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. Because
I wasn't watching season 4 on a weekly basis. We binged it all together. I mean, you guys went ahead of me a couple of times. Thanks for that. But
what do you want me to do? It's a good show.
I should be holding the teacup that you have right now with that sentence. I see the bag. I know it's not coffee.
Of course it's tea.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if it just took a mid-season break or if it... I don't think there was any like indication in the episode. I just remember one day my buddy telling me, oh my god, the new opener is really good. And I was like, season's not over yet?
And maybe because they specifically called it part one when it was coming out, we're like, okay, I guess there's a part two. But no one assumed, oh, that could mean multiple parts. They just assumed part one, part two. That could have been it. There's so many question marks around it. But yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. I just don't. The fact that there hasn't been an article that has come out that has said, hey, guess what? We're getting a extra, extra long episode this upcoming week. My hopes are getting very slim for that.
No, all the freaking articles are, we don't know what's going on because the manga's done, but there's 9 chapters not accounted for.
I need to start writing articles if it's that easy.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm kidding. Journalists, you do a great job. I was just... It's just making up, because if no one knows what's going on, I could also pretend I don't know what's going on. But
what's the one in the... Oh, wait, you're not on Facebook that much. But in the Stranded Panda chat, there's like this one news source that's always like shunned on. And I think it's a comingsoon.net. Because they just write about everything or every speculation. And like whenever somebody posts something in there from that source, like, do you guys know if this is real? It's like, oh, you must be new here.
you do not want to get me started right now on this podcast about some of these news sources, because yeah. I have some strong thoughts, because my Google News feed loves to like throw me in different directions. And it's just,
yeah.
I have my ones that I won't list off by name for their sake, that I have some serious problems with.
They post a little too much, but CBR, Comic Book Resources, is kind of one of the ones that...
They're all right. They do post a lot, but they're usually somewhat factual about their information.
Yeah. Just
like, they like to write the same thing 17 times.
It's also one of those ones where it's like, you know, say like a weekly Marvel show is coming out. They'll be like, this big unveilment happened. It's like, dude, like, give it a couple days. Let it breathe.
No, they do it at 12:01 the day an episode comes out.
It's like one of those news sources that I have to like log out of Facebook for, because they will spoil something for you.
They literally said something about Moon Knight episode 4. I saw an article headline, and it's in the headline, like what might happen in the fourth episode. And I'm like, the show comes out next week. I don't want to know about episode 4 yet.
In that case, I can't really blame them, because Marvel Studios hasn't been chilling out with all the promotion. Like, stop putting episode clips out. I don't need to see it. Every time I'm on Twitter, I'm like, no, shut up, Marvel. I'm about to unfollow everything Marvel at this point. Like, it's ridiculous.
Seriously, Marvel has gotten
news worth knowing. Matt and Jeff will tell me at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. That's all I need to know.
It's true.
It's true.
Well, that was a lovely rant.
Yeah.
If you're still with us, thank you.
Jujutsu Kaisen, if you're a fan, let us know. If you've seen the movie, let us know. animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com.
And also follow us, Animation Deliberation, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
I'm going to go ahead and cut this off before we find something else to rage about. Clearly, Andrew and I haven't talked to each other in a while, so we're making up for a lot of lost time. Tune in next week. Stay whelmed. Bye.
It's been a while. Muscle.
Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SPChat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.
Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for animation deliberation. A celebration and a conversation of our favorite action animated series, yeah.
You want to try again? You mixed two of them
What did I say?
You mixed conversation, celebration up. You said celebration and conversation. Conversation and celebration.
Oh, jeez. Okay, we'll take it one more time.
It's going great.
Just leave this in at the end here as a little... Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for animation deliberation. A something and a something else. Oh my god. A conversation and a celebration. Am I wrong? Because that's what I thought I said last time.
You mixed it up the first time.
A conversation and a celebration.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.